Hallelujah. Excellent. My friends, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the first book of the Bible? The first book of the Bible. And go to the fourth chapter. Hallelujah. Excellent. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Thank you, Jesus. All right on. Excellent. Hallelujah. Excellent. All right. You find it, say amen. It's a little bit hard to read in that color, but it'll be all right. Follow along in your Bible, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Let's read the Word of God together. And she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soils. In the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fatted portions from the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel. Cain and his offering did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right..." You can leave her. Let the kid, let her run around. It's all right. Sin. Let's go to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. That's good. All right. Let me see your Bibles. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by His precepts. I will live by His promises. Principles, sorry. I will live by His principles. I will stand on His promises. I declare it. In Jesus' name. Just name it. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, if you do what I do, you will get what I get. Look at your neighbor and look at them in the eye and say, "Neighbor, if you do what I do, you will get what I get." Look at your other neighbor and say, "Now it depends on which brother you follow." If you do what I do, you will get what I get. But it depends upon which brother you follow. Amen? Now, New Hope, you know that our theme for this year is on giving. Don't get nervous. Hide your wallets, put your checkbooks aside. We're not going to ask you for money. But our theme scripture is found in Luke 6:38 that says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over into your lap shall be given to you. The measure by which you give, it shall be returned to you." Now, Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, was not talking about money. So we are going to continue that theme, Brother Ezra, of giving. And we're not asking for money, but I want to point out to you a very key ingredient and element in giving. All right? The story is told of a man who had inherited $1 million. And he had a weak heart. And he was in the hospital. And so they asked his local pastor if he would go to the hospital and break the news to the man gently, because they figure a pastor can do that. And so the pastor went to the hospital and visited and said to the man, he said, "John, you know, if you were to inherit $1 million, what would you do? And if you were to inherit $1 million, what would you do? The man said, well, I will give half of it to the church. And the pastor dropped dead. Some of you will get that later. In our text today, we're speaking on giving. But again, I say to you, we're not going to ask you for any money. But stay with me in the text, because I believe that there is something in this text that I want to share with you that's beneficial to us. Now, in the book of Genesis, this is the beginning of everything. And in this, in these 8 verses that we've just read, we've seen some very interesting topics discussed in this particular passage. First of all, we see the topic of biblical stewardship. We could spend an entire year speaking on stewardship. We wouldn't exhaust the topic. We also see in this verse what is an acceptable sacrifice. We could spend an entire year talking about sacrifice. We wouldn't cover it completely. We also see worship in this text. And so we could spend all year talking about worship and we would never cover it. So this morning, I'm just going to hit the surface of all 3 of these. Just to illustrate some important things to you. Now listen, I'm shooting at the enemy. If you get hit, you're standing too close. All right? I'm aiming and firing at the enemy. If you get hit, you're standing way too close. All right? In this passage of Scripture, we notice that just recently, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they became aware of their nakedness, and they hid themselves with fig leaves. In Genesis 3:21, the Lord made garments out of skin to cover their nakedness. And we see the first element of sacrifice in that particular passage, where an animal was killed, an innocent animal was killed for the guilty man to cover his sin. And that is a shadow or a type of what's to come. And we see that from Genesis to the cross. Are you still with me? Now, we knew that God took an animal, killed it, and covered up the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Here, I suppose and I surmise that God took the opportunity to teach Adam about worship and about stewardship and about sacrifice, because previous to the sin in the garden, all Adam had to do was to maintain and have dominion over everything and on all the things that creeps. So Adam had authority over the animals and all the creeping things. So all the creeps were there, he had authority over them. And so, but after sin entered into the garden, y'all gonna have some fun with that, right? They had creeps in the garden too. Let the man laugh. If you can't laugh in church, where can you laugh? If you read the Bible, you'll find Adam had authority over everything that creeps. The creeps were there. Everything that fly and walked and creeped, the creeps were there. I just like to make sure you stay with me, you know. I have a few more I'm going to throw at you, so pay attention. And we notice that Adam's responsibilities move from being a gardener and a maintenance worker. And now he becomes a cultivator. He has to work hard now. He has to till the soil. And so when he has children, it is natural that the first son would follow in the father's footsteps. So Adam is a cultivator and a farmer. So Cain came along, and Cain now is doing like daddy's doing. And we notice in the text that the second son came along, Abel came along, And he has the responsibility of being a shepherd. In fact, if I let my imagination run a little wild, we see the first hint of a pastor in Abel. He's a shepherd. He's the first pastor leader we see of the title of shepherding. We relate it to pastoring. We see the first shepherd in the Bible. And it's hard to be a shepherd if you don't like smelling like sheep. And sheep don't always smell nice sometimes. And we see Cain working the farm, running the combine, doing what he's doing. And then we see Abel looking after the flock. And it seems to be in Scripture that it was customary that the youngest son or the youngest child will look after the animals. We see Abel doing it. And there's a man in the Bible named Laban. And he had two daughters. One was Rachel. She was the younger. And then older, who was Leah. And Rachel was a shepherdess. She looked after the sheep. Then we run over to David, and we see Jesse's youngest son looking after the sheep. So it seems to me that the younger child had the responsibility of looking after the animals. Good experience. Not bad to learn. So Adam, we find in our text here, in Genesis 48, must conclude that whatever God told him, he passed these things on to his sons, because we see them implementing these things throughout the text. And even though this context deals with the Adamic covenant, a dispensation of conscience and awareness, these principles are universal to all of God's children. And Adam, if we can make the assumption, taught his children, his boys, how to do certain things after God had instructed him how to do them. I want to just encourage you men and fathers, it's important that we teach our children and our sons to do the things that God has instructed us to do. But if we have not received God's instructions, we cannot pass on what we do not know. So it's imperative for us to have the instructions of God, to have the direction of God, to be in God's presence and then pass that along to our men. This is one of the things we want to accomplish with men's ministries, to get our men to be in that place where they hear from God, follow his instructions, and then pass it on to someone else. And if the process repeats itself, then imagine what our world would look like. So, if you do what I do, you will get what I get, depending on which brother you follow. So let's look at biblical stewardship, because it's in the text. We see Cain and Abel giving to the Lord. That stewardship, it's giving. And so how did they know how to give? So biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believer, not the church's way of raising money. Biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believer, not the church's way of raising money. That is biblical stewardship. Biblical stewardship is the recognition in each and every one of our lives that every morning that I get up and I see the sunshine, I say, Lord, I thank you for my life. Amen. Every morning that I'm able to go to a job, I say, Lord, this job is because you have blessed me. It is the realization that my family is a blessing from God. My automobiles are a blessing from God. My home is a blessing from God. My bank accounts are a blessing from God. My spouse is a blessing from God. Y'all supposed to be shouting on that one. It is the recognition that everything that I have belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, then I'm only a manager. I'm only a caretaker. And I have to do the best possible job to manage what God has given to me. Because one day I will have to give an account for it. Amen? Are you with me? So my time is the Lord's. And yet still we see people have all kinds of time to watch Dr. Phil and Oprah and everybody else. But when it has time to get into the Word of God, that's a whole different kettle of fish. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to move along. It is the recognition that my talents, my abilities to preach, to sing, to serve, to exalt, to prophesy, to help belongs to the Lord. But yet still, if it's not my way, it's the highway. Now, I told you before, I'm shooting at the enemy. If you get hit, you're standing too close. It is the recognition that my possessions belong to the Lord. It is the recognition that my money belongs to the Lord's. It is the recognition that God is the owner of my life. And this is what I believe God taught Adam. This is what Adam taught his sons. And this is what I would like to share with you today. And so when we come to this place of understanding and acknowledgement, we become responsible to God. We do the things that He asks us to do because we recognize that it's not us, it's about Him. We reverence Him with our devotion and our love for Him. We respect Him in who He is and the value that He has placed in our lives. So biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believer, not the church's way of raising money. So let's get into the text for a minute. And I want to take you through some things slowly. Here we have two biological brothers. Mom and dad, same mom and dad. Two children. And somehow, somewhere along the line, God told Adam some things. And we have two brothers from the same parents, Cain and Abel, who came together before the Lord. We don't know how God told them to sacrifice, but we notice that they came together before the Lord, walking in obedience before the Lord. Two, when two or three are gathered in His name, He, Almighty God, is in the midst to bless. Can you imagine going to church today with just you and your brother in the church? But if God is in the mix, that's all you need. I would rather have just me and one other and God than to have 10,000 and no presence. And so we find, Sister Elsie, that Cain and Abel came together to go to church. Adam taught them how to go to church. We notice, not only the text, that came from the same parent, went to church, but they came together with an offering. All right. Tell somebody an offering. And the Bible says that when they brought the offering in, they sat in the pew and the ushers collected it. Let's just check that out, make sure I'm on the right. Oh, it's right here. It says they brought an offering in. They sat in the back and the ushers passed the basket and collected it. The Bible said that they brought an offering and they brought it to the altar to give to the Lord. Can I pause here for a minute? Do you know why we pass the basket in churches today? Because we're so afraid that we will embarrass someone who doesn't have to give. So we don't want to offend anybody, so we pass the basket. So nobody has to see you get up or not get up and put anything in. But is there any person who understands biblical stewardship that his time, his life, his money doesn't have anything to give? There is no such person. Now, there may be some who choose not to give, but there isn't one person who can't afford not to give. And so the church starts compromising. So what we do is we start bringing, passing the basket because we don't want to offend nobody. Oh, no, we don't want to offend nobody. But when we look at the first act of sacrifice and stewardship, the Bible said that these two brothers, they came together, they brought an offering, and the Bible says that it was an offering. So it wasn't a tip, but a tithe. They brought it. These brothers came before the Lord with an offering. They came into church. They brought an offering, and it was at a specific place. You can't give your offering to every place. It was at a, they brought it in, they brought an offering, but it was a specific place. And Sister Eleanor, in that place, God had prepared himself to meet with them. So when you take your tithes and you give it to Peter Popoff at 2 o'clock in the morning for a little bottle of mineral oil, and you want to know why your life is going no place real fast, now I done told you that I'm aiming at the enemy. If you get hit, you're standing too close. I have no issues with any of the television evangelists or anyone preaching the word of God. God calls different people for different things. But my Bible tells me that your offering is supposed to come to a specific place, and God has prepared himself to meet you at that place. God was there. So when you take your offering and you try to spend it on something else, and God is not in that place, how can we expect the blessings of God without following the responsibilities of God? And so we find that God was already waiting to receive what these two brothers had to offer. In Genesis, he was waiting to receive the worship. And today in New Hope, he is still waiting to receive what we have. I believe that the presence of God comes into every church building, and if the people come in with the right attitude and with the right mindset, I believe God is willing to meet with them. And so if we don't meet with God, it's because not God is absent, there's something wrong with us. All right? And so they had to offer God this source of blessing that he has given to them. Now, let's look at the sacrifice, point number 2. Let us examine the sacrifice. Biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believers, not the church's way of raising money. And so let's look at number 2. Let's examine an acceptable sacrifice. How do you know when a sacrifice is acceptable? Now, stay awake with me now. We're going to go down a little deep now. All right. So we have two brothers coming in the same place at the same time and giving and meeting God in a particular place. But one of them brought animal, and one brought some plantains. So one guy brought a goat, and the other guy brought some plantains. All right? Okay, or some potatoes. I want to be relevant with you. All right? One guy brought his goat, another guy brought some potatoes. All right? And Ezra, the Bible says that the Lord rejected the one who brought the potatoes. Okay? Abel is the youngest brother. He worked in the field, brought the offering. The Bible doesn't tell us why the sacrifice was rejected, nor does it say to us how the sacrifice was rejected. We don't know if fire came down from heaven and burned up the goat and left the potatoes. We don't know. Doesn't say. But the Bible gives us enough clues that we have a clear indication of what the problem is. And so we're going to look at the problem this morning. If you do what I do, you get what I get, depending on which brother you're following. If you get hit, I'm aiming at the devil. You're standing too close if you get hit now. Bear in mind. So let's move on. So two sacrifices sitting at the altar. One is accepted. One is not accepted. And the Lord says, okay, let's. They took it to the right place. They took a sacrifice. Biological brothers. They brought it to the Lord. One is accepted, the other is not accepted. And the Bible says that in the course of time, that Cain brought an offering. And we don't know exactly what "in the course of time" really means. We don't know if he reaped the first fruits from his harvest and he delayed and brought it later on. We're not too sure. But we do know one thing, that after his offering was rejected, we see a change in his attitude, in his spirit. Now, let me talk to you about rejection. Is there anyone in here who's never been rejected in their life? Is there anyone in here who has conquered the correct way of handling rejection? All right, I've got the good audience, right audience. If you live long enough, you will run into rejection time and time again. There's always somebody who says, "You're too fat, you're too ugly, you're too short, you're too poor, you're too this, you're too that, you're too that." There's always something. There's always someone. "You're not good enough. You're not a good enough preacher. You're not a good enough father." You're just, there's always someone willing to reject you in some way, shape, or form. I believe that the problem with our churches today and many Christians today is the fact that not that we end up being rejected, but we don't handle it properly. And I believe this is a key issue in why many of our churches are the way they are today, because we have a lot of people who are rejected and don't choose to get things right with themselves nor with God. So now listen to this. Cain's sacrifice is rejected. And he's mad. Who's he mad at? His brother. What in the world did his brother do to offend him? Nothing. He was mad at his brother because his sacrifice was accepted. And I want to tell you that when you live right and when you do right, people will become envious and jealous of you because the God looked upon you with favor, and that we become mad at you and angry with you and bitter and resentful instead of trying to get things right for themselves. But Cain becomes angry with his brother. He also becomes angry with God. So let me tell you this. I believe that somewhere along the line, God saw hints of Cain's heart. And I don't know why God rejected the sacrifice. The Bible said it's a sacrifice. So obviously, I don't feel that there was anything wrong with the sacrifice. But I believe God is saying this to us, that if the sacrificer is not right, his sacrifice cannot be right. When the sacrificer is not right, his sacrifice cannot be right. I believe the other thing God is saying to us is that we can never substitute religious activity for righteous living. We cannot substitute religious activity for righteous living. Here are two brothers. I mean, he went to church. He brought an offering. He knelt before the Lord. I mean, he was in God's presence, but he still had a bad attitude. And we cannot substitute religious activity for righteous living. If we're going to do this God's way, the heart has to be right. And New Hope, when I talk to you about finances, when I say about finances, our problem is not a financial issue. Our problem is a heart issue. And who can change the heart? Only God. I can preach till I'm purple, which will be pretty hard to do, but only God can change the heart. So look at this in the text. I'm going to leave my notes a little bit. I'm just going to go off what I've got in my head here. God said no to him. And with the sacrifice, brought it in, did all the right things. On the outside, it looked good. Man came in, perfume, deodorized, brought a sacrifice, smelling good, looking good, knelt down at the altar, and God says no. Can I tell you something else? If you really want to know what's in a Christian, reject them in some way, shape, or form, and you will see what comes out. Somebody said Christians are like tea bags. You put them in hot water, And then you see what comes out. So if you want to see what is inside a person's heart, let them feel rejected. And I can tell you, I've got stories upon stories upon stories as a pastor of when I've spoken to someone and they have felt rejected and they've taken their ball and they just went home. Sometimes, you know, we are looking for an office administrator. And so this week, let me scan the congregation first. We're looking for an office administrator. And we had some good resumes. Good resumes. But we said, as a board, we're looking for three things. Practically, you have to be able to do the job. Got to be able to turn on a computer. Got to know how to do that. You know, you got to know what Microsoft Office is. And then attitudinally, you've got to be up in the 7 out of 10 mark, because this job requires you to have the right attitude. And thirdly, there has to be spiritual maturity. But these resumes look so good. How do you know which one to pick? So we've gone through the interview, and of course the board said, Pastor, the reason we pay you the big bucks and call you pastor is so that you can call these people and tell them they didn't get the job. So I began to make some phone calls. And I tell you, when I was finished making some of those phone calls, I knew that we had made the right decision with 99% of those decisions, because the response of rejection brought out something that told me we made the right decision. It's what's on the inside and the heart. Made the right decision. So Abel, sacrifices accepted. Cain's is not, as a result of the condition of his heart. And I believe that some authors say that there was something wrong with the sacrifice. I find it hard to believe that if a person's heart is right, they would bring before the Lord a sacrifice that is not right. The other thing, Brother Joseph, I'm thinking about, if you and I are brothers, and Daddy told us how to do this thing, and I'm bringing the right sacrifice, and you're bringing the wrong sacrifice, or if you're bringing the right sacrifice, and I'm bringing the wrong sacrifice, I think that we would have a dialogue someplace between the house and the temple. I would say to you, Joseph, what you're doing is not right. Or you would say to me, Sion, this is not right. I believe that the sacrifice was correct because nothing was said. But I believe that nothing was said to Cain because of what was in his heart. Abel couldn't see what was in his heart. It was only after he was rejected that what was in his heart manifested itself, which disqualified his sacrifice. Giving that doesn't cost you anything is not sacrificial giving. We notice in point number 3, let's look at worship. And God said to Cain, if you do what is right, let's look at the text, verse 7 to 8. I don't know if we can put it on there. When you find it, say amen. If you do what is right, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? It doesn't say, will your sacrifice be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your heart. And God told him that if he wanted to fix the problem, all he had to do was repent. Repent. Now listen to this. Listen to this. What happened to Cain that even the Almighty God saying to him, Cain, I can see that your face is downcast. I can see it look like you've been drinking lemon juice all night long. You look miserable and you look unhappy. You don't know any of those people. I can see that. Why are you so downcast? If you do right, wouldn't it be well with you? And in the presence of God, he refused. Can you imagine refusing to get your heart right, even though God is speaking to you? What happened to him? Sin. This is what sin does. It replaces everything that God has set as a standard, and it gives us the counterfeit. And we enjoy it for a while, but sin always costs. And it'll cost you more down the road. I tell you, a 30-minute thrill takes a lifetime to pay. You don't know what I'm talking about. And Cain refused to fix his heart. And I see in the church, time and time again, there are people who hold on to their hurts since 1902, and they won't let it go. And every time they open their mouth, it comes up, and they're regurgitated, and they never get well. And they wonder, why is it that their lives go no place real fast? And God said to Cain, if you repent, it'll be okay. Which tells me that the God that I serve is a God of mercy, that even though he saw Cain with a bad attitude, he said, Cain, if you come before me and confess your sins, I am faithful and just to cleanse you and forgive you from all unrighteousness. And Cain looked at it and said, no, I'd rather keep my anger and my bitterness and my discontent and live with it that way. Oh, what a sad state of affairs. And he allowed the rejection to form into anger and resentment, and sin always leads to death. And he killed his brother. Worship, New Hope. Worship, New Hope. Let me talk to you about worship. When we come before the Lord, we can look good. We can smell good. We can bring an offering. You can even bring millions of dollars. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want to say to you that if the heart in which the worship is given is not right, then the worshiper is disqualified. If the heart in which the offering is presented with is not right, then the worshiper becomes disqualified. And if the heart of the worshiper is right, then that person will not bring before God a sacrifice that is blemished. You just won't. You just won't. If I love my wife, there is no way I would bring home flowers that are half dead and look like they're about to be buried. Right? You would want to find the nicest, rosiest bunch and bring it home, right? And so when the heart's right, now if my heart's not right, I don't care what I get. Whether it dies in 2 days or an hour, let it be. And we see what we bring before the Lord in our worship. We spend so much time arguing about style. I'm not saying style is not important. And we rhythm and all kinds of different things. And I hear God saying, purify my heart, let it be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. I hear God saying, why don't you sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. New Hope. Whatever we lack in this church is not because the sacrifice is not right. I believe that the sacrificer is not right. The heart is not right. So when you get upset when I talk about money, and you go, the pastor's always talking about money and money and money and money, that is a spirit that is not right. When I ask you to commit to something and you've got every excuse in the book, that is a spirit that is not right, because you're not doing it unto me. It's unto the Lord. And if a person can't make the sacrifice unto the Lord, then we know that the heart is not right. And this is why after 14 years of pastoring, I stopped begging people to do anything. If you want to do it, you do it. You don't want to do it, that's between you and the Lord. Take those who want to do it and run with them. I want to challenge you today. Let us get ourselves to the place and be like Abel. Abel worshiped in sincerity. Abel did the right things with his heart. Both brothers worshiped God at the same place at the same time and came with an act of sacrifice and giving to the Lord. And God had prepared himself already, come down from heaven to meet with these two brothers at the front of the altar to receive what they had brought before him. Cain and Abel were both connected in blood, but they were disconnected in spirit. And we have a lot of brothers and sisters connected in blood, but disconnected in spirit. We don't want Cain's offering because Cain worshiped in hypocrisy. Cain did things with his hands, but his heart was far from God. Do I have a witness this morning? Cain worshiped God, but it was an insult to God. Yeah, when things don't go the way we want them to go, we often become angry, and anger leads to murder. But I came by this morning to tell you that if you do what I do, you will get what I get, depending on which brother you follow. Cain refused to repent. Don't you go making the same mistake. He refused to change. Don't you go making the same mistake. He went to church and he worshiped God and he took an offering and he took communion. But look how quickly he became offended when he ran into rejection. New Hope, we don't want Cain's worship. We don't want worship that leads to jealousy. We don't want worship that leads to anger. We don't want worship that leads to sin. We don't want worship that leads to death. We don't want worship that leads to sorrow. We don't want worship that leads to disappointment. We don't want worship that leads to pain. We don't want worship that leads to bitterness. We don't want worship that leads to resentment. We don't want worship that leads to division. We don't want worship that leads to disunity. We don't want worship that leads to mourning and grieving. We don't want worship that leads to strongholds and footholds. We don't want worship that leads to murder. But somebody ought to give God some able worship. Somebody ought to come in with the right heart, with the right mind, with the right spirit, with the right attitude, and give God some praise for who he is, and surrender themselves to him. I hear Cain saying, Lord, take my life and let it be. I hear him say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I am saying, change my heart, O God. I am saying, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Because I want to do right by you, Almighty God. I want you to receive my offering in the morning. I want you to receive my offering at midnight. And I want you to receive my offering at noonday. And so I say to you today, let us bring an Abel offering. Let us bring an offering that puts a smile on God's face. Let us bring an offering that encourages God to let his presence be manifested amongst his people. I wish I had a praying church this morning. Let us bring an offering that somebody said, God, I will give you everything I got. It doesn't matter what it costs me. I bring an offering that said, Lord, this is the last that I've got, but I'm going to put it in faith and trust that what I give to you, you will give back to me. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over, God. I wish somebody would say, Lord, it's better to give than to receive. I wish somebody would set a hand that is open to give. Is also open to receive. If you do what I do, you will get what I get. Somebody ought to give God some praise. If you do what I do, you get what I get. So let us come in to God's presence, understanding that biblical stewardship is God's way of raising up the believer, not the church's way of raising money. Let us come into God's presence understanding sacrifice. Cain and Abel brought a sacrifice. The first fruits, the best, wasn't the leftovers. It was the best. Give it to God. But also we must worship with the right spirit. Because when the heart of the worshiper is not right, the sacrifice is unacceptable. So my friends, when we come into church and we look at our lives and we say, well, this is not happening and that's not happening, the place to look Twyla, would you come help me out here for a bit? The place to look is internally. We are at the end of first month of 2013. Are we going to continue with our rejections? Are we going to continue to hold on to our bitterness? Are we going to continue to hold on to those things that would allow God to reject us? Or would we say, Lord, I need a new spirit. I need a right spirit. I need my mind renewed. I need to change the way I view some things. I want to get right with you because I don't want to be a Cain worshiper. I want to be an Abel worshiper. Twyla, I got three of them. Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit would be appropriate if you know that. Maybe some of the members of the praise team can help us out. But I want to give you an opportunity, my friends, to ask yourself the question, which brother are you? Ask yourself the question, which brother am I? Am I Cain or am I Abel? Am I Cain or am I Abel? And if it's Abel, stay right where you are. But if it's Cain, I would love to pray with you. Because our God said to Cain, if you repent, things will go well with you. Let's make it right with God. Be right before Him today so that things can be well with us. We're not asking for any money. We just want you to get your heart right. We want to get your heart right, my friends. If your worship to God is Abel's worship, remain where you are. But if it's Cain's, would you join me at the platform? Perhaps you've not even given your heart over to the Lord completely. I would love to lead you in this process. Because God said, if you repent, wouldn't it go well with you? Would you give the Lord an opportunity to let it be well with you? Will you join me at the altar? Don't worry about the person next beside you. They don't have a heaven or a hell to send you to. This is between you and Almighty God. Give Him this opportunity. Go ahead, Christina. The altars of the church are open, my friends. Is your worship Cain's or Abel's? If you do what I do, you get what I get, depending on which brother you follow.
I renew my spirit within me.
Oh, Jesus, have your way this morning. Sing, Christina.
Created me a clean heart.
Why don't we stand together this afternoon? Be sensitive that there's still ministry taking place at the altar. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you would help each and every one of our hearts, even those who did not come forward, God. But we desire to have Abel's heart, Abel's sacrifice, Abel's worship to you, Abel's understanding of stewardship. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you would deliver us from Cain's heart and Cain's type of worship and sacrifice. Father God, I pray that you release these people, your people. Give them the heart that you've placed in them, Lord. I know the enemy continues to twist and turn and deceive and connive and substitute. But Lord Jesus, let them have the desire and the heart that you have placed in them from the beginning of times. Lord Jesus, help us all so that we can operate in our world, in our places of influence, in our church, in our jobs, with the right heart, Lord, so that our sacrifices are pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord. Help us today, God, to follow the right brother. Walk in your ways. As we dismiss our service, take us to our various destinations, keep our hearts and minds in tune with you, and bring us back again for another time of joyful celebration and delighting in each other's presence. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.